This is part B of the mystery of lawlessness is already working, and number two, and we have seen how it works in individuals' lives. We'll see a little later in groups' lives, and then we will see in a nation's life and what happens. And a lot of times it comes down to the leader. Not always. But in many, many cases, it does. Now, since we're here in Proverbs, let's come to Proverbs 21. Just a couple of pages over. Proverbs 21. And so all of these that we're covering now are related to Ephesians 2, 2, and 3. Proverbs 21 in verse 4. A high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. You can see this on television every day, can't you? All right, drop down to verse 7. No, let's go here to verse 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro by those who seek death. And all of these are so self-evident, it's something. But when you put it in context of what is happening to this nation today, you can see exactly what's happening. We're living in California. And California, all the people voted and said, no more taxes, no more gimmicks. So the state is on the verge of bankruptcy. Why? Because of this verse right here. The robbery of the wicked... the getting of treasure by a lying tongue is vanity tossed to and fro by those who seek death. And that's naming the politicians and everything right here in the state of California. You can look at the same thing in Chicago, Illinois, not quite so bad. New Jersey is worse than we are. Do you know that in New Jersey they pay 60% of their gross income in taxes? And yet they can't tax enough to take care of the deficit because, you can't fire any of these civil servants that work here. So there's a real rebellion going on in New Jersey. New York State is almost broke because they say, we'll tax the rich. So the rich say, I'm moving out. Now who are you going to tax? All those who receive welfare? See, that'll never work. See, whenever people go against the laws of God or the principles established out of the Bible, it is doomed to failure. No way around it. Now, verse 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do what is just. Be interesting if all of these were sent to the members of Congress and to all of the religious leaders of America. Verse 8, the way of a guilty man is perverted, but as for the pure, his work is right. Now let's come here to verse 10. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his sight because he's going to go after him and take and get and do all the things that he's going to do. Verse 11, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. Now this has to be with us. This gives us instruction, and we receive knowledge to what? How to live our lives in the way of the Lord, and to walk in God's way and do what is right. Now verse 12, the righteous wisely considers the house of the wicked, so we don't go that way. But God overthrows the wicked for their wickedness, or the lawless for their lawlessness. Now let's see how it can affect a whole nation. Let's come to 2 Kings, book of 2 Kings, Now here was a youth, Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah. Now Hezekiah was a righteous king. However, because he did what he should not have done, that is Hezekiah, his punishment and the punishment for the whole nation was his wicked son, Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. No elections back then. As long as the king was alive, he ruled. Verse 2, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. See, because in order for a lawless society to develop, you must have a clergy that endorses it, that allows it. Is that what happened here in America? Yes, indeed. In every evil, perverted thing that has come along, the clergy has endorsed it. Not all, but enough. So here's what he did. After the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel, for he built again the high places which his father Hezekiah had destroyed. Because at 12, he had all of these advisors. The advisors would come to him and say, now we know you are young, but we want you to understand how it was before your father came. Now your father was kind of harsh. He tore down all of these temples and places of worship because he didn't believe in freedom of religion. And he said you should only worship the true God. Well, he's not the true God. There are other gods. And you know, he offended all of our neighbors around us because these were the gods of our neighbors around here. And so they're against us. So why don't you give freedom of religion again and let's build these things? So he built them. He erected altars for Baal and made a grove as Ahab, king of Israel, did, and he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Universal, tolerant religion. But notice what happens. Because God calls these abominations. And how does it affect the people? And what happens in such a society where then lawlessness is turned loose? He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. Then he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, right there in the temple area. Oh, let's put it here because that will sanctify it. And he made his sons pass through the fire and observe times and used witchcraft. The occult. See, when you leave God and you have lawlessness, the occult, inspired by Satan, takes over. Or occultism, occult practices. And so you get involved in times and witchcraft. And he dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. Instead of consulting with God and the priest, he consulted with the witches and the witchcraft. and the wizards. And he worked much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now what happens? When evil takes over and there seems to be no immediate punishment, well, you go in deeper. And you go in deeper. So what happened? Verse 7, he went in deeper, and he set up a graven image of the grove which he had made, he commissioned to have made, in the house which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not again make the feet of Israel wander any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if. See, the conditions are always upon human beings. If they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. Well, that didn't happen. But they, that is the people, did not hearken. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations ever did whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Now we're rapidly approaching the same thing here in the United States. Likewise in the UK. Verse 10. And the Lord spoke to his servants, the prophets, saying, he sent prophets, warned them, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, doing more wickedly than all the Amorites did who were before him, and has made Judah also to sin with his idols. Just like we read in the first message, that Jesus said, many people will be led into sin. This is how they are doing it. When it is endorsed by the leader, when it is supported by all of his advisors, in this case princes, or in our case governors and senators and representatives, etc. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, so that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle, or shall tingle, rather. It's going to be something. Now, let me just stop here and pause, and let's reflect on that for just a minute. If you want to know how bad it got, read the book of Lamentations. That will tell you how hard it's going to be upon us. It's going to be something, because God is not going to be mocked. This nation had a godly mission to help the rest of the nations of the world, and instead of helping them, teaching them God's way, along with the United Kingdom, we ended up turning our backs on God and becoming as evil or more wicked than those we were to teach them about the Word of God. Yes, we did send Bibles into the world, but sending Bibles into the world without instructors to tell them what to do is not what God wanted. That was only part of it. That's like saying, you know, like it says there in Luke 14, the man put the foundation down, but he wasn't able to finish it. So to send out the Word of God, which is the foundation, without the proper instruction as to what to do, and then from that, how to have the right kind of civil government, didn't do any good. Instead, we went into those nations and said, Oh, well, what do you do? Oh, this looks interesting. Well, let's do that. Verse 13. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, because he had already taken the 10 tribes off into captivity, and the measuring line of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a dish is wiped, wiping it and turning it upside down. Now, if you think that sounds a little harsh, I invite you to get the book of Josephus. And you read about the first destruction of Jerusalem in 586 B.C., which was finally destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And you will see how absolutely terrible the circumstances were. And yet the people didn't repent. And even in times of distress, when God said, if you will just honor the Sabbath, I won't bring it upon you. But just like their descendants today, if you go and if you went into a Sunday keeping church and said, now all of you, you need to start keeping the Sabbath, they would run you out, tar and feather you. It's exactly what they wanted to do to Jeremiah. And he warned them, but they wouldn't listen. Verse 14, and I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies. Remember, they own us with all of our debts. They hold the debt. We are mortgaged to every nation in the world, the majority to China. And they're going to demand payment, not printed money. And if you can't pay it, we're coming and claiming the assets because we hold the title. You need to think on that. Now, here's why. Because they have, verse 15, they have done what is evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt until this day. Now, what happens when the whole society is given over to the occult? Here's what happens. Moreover, Manasseh also shed very much innocent blood until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. Besides his sin with which he made Judah to sin in doing the evil in the sight of the Lord. So it can affect the whole society. And then what happens when people look around and try and see, oh, well, where's the right? Can we find anyone who is not corrupted? Come here to Ecclesiastes 3, and let's see the lament of Solomon. And we also see this today. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 16, page 836. You know what they're saying today? All these politicians are a bunch of liars. Well, they have been for a long time. Well, how about the judges? Solomon saw this, verse 16, Ecclesiastes 3. And again I saw under the sun the place of judgment. And wickedness was there. That is, lawlessness. because they did things to please people rather than enforce the laws of God. Or in today's world, rather than enforce the rule of law, they went by the whims of what they thought it should be. And now, one of the popular things for the Supreme Court, and they're having a hard time stopping it, which was started by Sandra Day O'Connor, quoting precedent of laws in foreign countries as a basis for interpreting our laws, rather than the Constitution. Now you stop and think. What would happen if our current president was able to replace one of those who was considered a conservative judge today, and it was 5-4 the other way? And if you think he marched through a lot of things through the legislature, just think what would happen to this nation if that event would transpire. All right, now let's read on. That wickedness or lawlessness was there. And in the place of righteousness, in the pulpit, in the ministry, what do you find? Liars, cheats, thieves, adulterers, pedophilia. That wickedness was there, or lawlessness was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. There is a time for every purpose and every work. So their day is coming, without a doubt. And the day of our demise lies just ahead of us. And it's going to come in a way that is going to take our breath away. We won't expect it. Now stop and think for just a minute. What happened this last week? The FBI arrested 3 men, black men, could have been white men, doesn't make any difference, who were imprisoned in New York. And they embraced Islam. And what were they going to do? It was quite a lengthy investigation. The FBI was on the ball and foiled the trap. They were going to have car bombs in front of Jewish synagogues in the Bronx. Blow them up. And they were going to have shoulder-held anti-aircraft guns to shoot down airplanes. They caught them. But the question is, how many more are out there whose time to do that lies ahead of them? So we need to think. We think, since we've had it so nice and so good and so well, we think, oh, that's horrible to think on. Oh, you shouldn't dwell on that. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're not warned ahead of time, then you will surely say, no one told us. Is that true? Yes. So there we have it. All right, now let's see what we need to do. Let's see how we need to do it. Let's come here to Psalm 119, just back here a few pages. Psalm 119. Here's what we need to do. Without fail, every day, in God's way, and every day in God's way means walk in faith, believe in hope, live in love. Every day. Don't get entrapped into thinking that political means will solve the problems. They won't. Don't get entrapped into thinking that you can work it out on your own, because it won't happen. You need to do it God's way. Let's go over here to Psalm 118 and let's repeat this again. Verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. So take all your troubles to God. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. He gave me relief from it. The Lord is on my side. That is, provided you're on God's side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And this is how we need to face these situations. Verse 8. Here's the only thing that's going to work. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. No man's going to solve it. That's why Christ is returning. That's why he's going to take over all the governments in the world. That's why we need to be concentrating on building the character of God in our lives, because we're going to rule and reign with Christ. So don't put any confidence in any man. Verse 9, it is better to trust the Lord than to trust princes. That is, politicians. You can't trust them. I wonder what the record will be like, if it ever could be known, what has been happening the last 8, 10, or 12 years in the United States Congress. And there's one man in Britain who would say, yes, and in the Parliament in England. And he says, if you think Obama's spending money, he's a patsy compared to Brown. So here's what we need to do. Here's how we can stay focused and do what God wants. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. And to understand what is happening is preparation, so that when it happens, you're not going to be taken by surprise. So here's where we need to concentrate. Verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord, which is the way of God. Add to that the New Testament with the Spirit of God, the righteousness of God, the love of God. See? Blessed are they who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart, believing God, loving God, seeking him with all your heart and mind and soul and being. That's the only thing that's going to work. That's the only thing that's going to keep us sane. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. That's how we are to do it. And living in Laodicean time, we really need to focus in on words like diligent and zealous, wholehearted, and all of those things, right? Yes. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. So here it shows we have to fight human nature. Human nature doesn't want to do that. Human nature wants to go its own way. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I have learned your righteous judgment. I will keep your statutes, or forsake me not utterly. Now we will finish with this section in Psalm 119. Let's begin in verse 121. There has to be our attitude, our behavior, our attitude, plea to God. I have done justice and righteousness. Leave me not to those who oppress me. Because we're going to see a lot of oppression coming around. Be surety for your servant for good. That means, make your word good to me, Lord. Let not the proud oppress me. My eyes fail for your salvation, for the word of your righteousness. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to work, Lord. It is time for you to work, for they have made void your law. So there is going to come a time when the circumstances are just right, when God looks down and says, now is the time. God is going to intervene and work for us because they've made void your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. We're beyond the point where money can help. Those days will be coming. Verse 128, and here needs to be our whole concerted attitude. Therefore, I esteem your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So that's what we need to be doing. So living in the world, though not of the world, and seeing the mystery of lawlessness working at every level and increasingly so as time goes on. This is how we need to understand it from the Word of God. This is how we need to lead our lives and set our minds.